message. Never had a miracle, and you need one. You need one. This is a way to build up that thing called faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You need to trigger that faith. Your mouth is a trigger for faith.
That's right. The other night, I was meditating on the Word, it's like the Lord told me, don't meditate on the problem, but meditate on the answer. And if you have an illness or a disease,
Amen.
That is a very stubborn one, I would talk about faith all the time. I would tell the stories, like you're saying, Darren, stories on healing and faith, build up my faith. I wouldn't talk about the disease. If you have relationship problems, I'd get out Isaiah 11:2, and I would go to the Spirit of Counsel, and I say, Spirit of Counsel, you teach me how to counsel with these relatives that are so ornery and that won't get along with me. If you have problems with finances, you say, Father God, thank you for giving me a spirit of wisdom and knowledge so I know how to make money.
Well, now in Isaiah 11:2, Barb, it gives us four of them, right?
Yes.
Wisdom, counsel, understanding, revelation, knowledge. With those, you will not miss.
But see, so many of Satan is lying to a lot of our people.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm talking about Christians here. They dwell on the problem instead of the answer. They dwell on the financial problems,
right,
the bankruptcy, the disease, the illness, the relationship problems, instead of dwelling on the spirits of God that are going to get them out of these situations.
Amen. You're right. Absolutely right on.
It's so important to dwell on the answer. And go to Isaiah 11:2. He's given you seven spirits here to help you. And the first one is Holy Spirit. He is the greatest one of all. He's your friend, your comforter. But then there's a spirit of wisdom and knowledge and counsel and might and revelation knowledge. These are so important to have. Which one did I miss?
Well, you know, you got them all.
No,
spirit of wisdom, counsel, understanding, revelation, knowledge. What you need is revelation knowledge, revelation counsel. God's going to give you something you can't get at the library.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the public library,
that's
or maybe
right.
even in your library, you can't get that. But God can deliver that to you directly, and you can talk yourself. And see, this here is not positive mental attitude thinking type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not getting up and saying, well, I'm better and better in every day and every way. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Word of God that's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive and active.
Mm-hmm.
And when you speak it through your mouth, it becomes alive in your situation.
That's right. For instance, if I have a problem in a relationship, like one of our children, for instance, I will talk about a spirit of counsel and might going to that child, and I will send her angel or his angel. And Darren, you were just talking about that in Psalm 104:20, and we in
Psalm 103:20,
right. And then Psalm 104, about 3 or 4, it talks about his mighty servants
right.
again,
Amen.
Going and doing
Amen.
His bidding.
Well, in Hebrews 1:14 says, these angels are all ministering servants to perform service for us.
For,
who inserts for us, not
for
to us.
Us,
but for us.
That's right. And so when we call those angels, I believe those relationships will absolutely turn around.
Amen.
We saw one last month. One of our children said, well, I just can't make it for Christmas. And so I said, okay, angel, and I know this child's angel's name. I prayed it when they were small children, Father God, give me the names of their angels. And so now I have their angels. So I just talked to him, and I says, go and tell her that she needs to come home for Christmas. 2 days later, she calls me and says, Mom, guess what? We can come. I said, wow, I knew that. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful to depend on his. God is so excited, Darren, and he's so, I don't know if the word is anxious. I don't know if God's anxious, but he's on the edge of his throne. He's saying, I have provided this for you. When are you going to get it? I want this for you. I'm so excited for you. And
the promises are given in the Word to elicit or to bring forth faith.
Mm-hmm.
And when you begin to speak those promises, one day it just becomes a rhema word inside of you, and it becomes yours.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know God's going to perform that because it's personalized to you.
That's right.
And that's what we're telling you. You need to personalize these scriptures on healing because we live in a defiled world.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil is the author of all disease and discomfort and disorder. We need to put him in his place and go with God. And when we do that, we'll enjoy the divine order, which includes divine health.
Amen. Well, I'm going to start reading from the first part of Isaiah 53 because all that most of you know is Isaiah 3:5, by his stripes you are healed. And I believe you need learn a little bit more about Jesus. In fact, in Isaiah 52, it says in the 14th verse, his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So we know Jesus was beaten so that he was so bloody they could not recognize him. In verse 1 of Isaiah 53, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. That means the land was ready for him. It was thirsty, it was dry, and here came this glorious green root out of the ground. When Israel truly needed it, Jesus came at a time when they were desperate for an answer.
And by the way, in the New Testament, he's called the seed.
That's right, he is. He's called the vine also in John 15. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. I believe God put that in there because so many of us look to the external for our beauty, Darren. And God doesn't look to that at all. He never looks on the outside. He looks to the heart of man. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That means he was a man of pain. Jesus experienced pain for us, and he experienced sickness for us so that we wouldn't have to bear it. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That means beaten. He was pierced through for our transgressions, our sins, our iniquities, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being, or that means the peace. He took the beating on him so that we could have peace. The chastening for our peace fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. That is one of the most spoken phrases in the whole Word of God. By his stripes we are healed.
Well, that's also quoted or paraphrased in 1 Peter 2:24 that says, For he bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Mm-hmm. For by his wounds we were healed, which is taken here from Isaiah 53.
That's right. That's right. In verse 10 of Isaiah 53, and I won't go through the whole 53rd verse because of time, I mean the 53rd chapter, but in the 10th verse of the 53rd chapter, it says here that God, he was pleased. What does that word pleased mean? It means from 2654 in your Strong's Concordance and your Hebrew lexicon, it means God was fully satisfied by this sacrifice. You know, lambs and goats and sheep hadn't done it, Darren. It had not done anything for the people. They'd gone once a year and sacrificed their perfect offerings to God, and somehow it just hadn't done the thing that was intended.
The reason it didn't do the job was the life force in the animal's blood is not the same life force that's in the blood of Jesus.
That's right. Oh, hallelujah.
So we have, now on down the line, we have a teaching on communion for you. But that's basically the reason why the blood, it was blood,
yes.
It was red, it was liquid, but it wasn't the same blood as the blood of Jesus, the perfect lamb,
the
human, the God-man. And when he sacrificed, he was sacrificed on the cross, really. In our place, he hung there as a perfect lamb, a sacrificial lamb, which really comes out of this teaching here. He was able to take away the sin of the world.
Oh,
praise
hallelujah,
God.
Hallelujah.
And out of that sin package comes sickness.
Yes, and that's exactly what he was saying here in the 10th verse. The Lord was pleased or satisfied, fully satisfied by this sacrifice,
right,
to crush Jesus, putting him to grief. This word here, grief, means sick. God made him sick so that we wouldn't have to be sick. He would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring. For the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Jesus became the guilt offering, the
now,
sacrifice.
Now, let's talk
lamb.
About grief. Some people that we're speaking to today have a broken heart.
Yes.
You're sick of heart. You have a broken spirit. And the word says, a broken spirit, who can bear? We had a situation with grief in our household. May I talk about that, Barbara?
Mm-hmm.
When I married Barbara, she had recently been widowed. Her first husband died. And when I married her, I said, now I know you're going to have to take time to grieve and this kind of thing. And, you know, in our society, they say, well, a widow needs to grieve it for at least a year, not marry for a year, not look at anybody else for a year. I mean, we got a lot of strange practices.
That's right.
But, you know, God says, I bore, you know, Jesus bore your grief.
Yes, he did.
Some of you today are not going to be healed in your finances, not going to be healed in your body until you give that grief to Jesus and say, you already bore that. I don't have to bear it. And see, we